selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slides, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force of air, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
To the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. And if the volume is bad on this broadcast or getting a lot of feedback or crackly noises, let me know, please. Got a new headset going here. And when I first hooked it up, it was garbage. And then the next day, it was perfect. So I think I got some kind of, I don't know what I got, a Marxist in my computer now or something. I have to, I'm having a trouble getting Skype to kick up. I have to run some software through and then reboot the computer to get Skype to run. So hopefully everything is working okay. I hope. But if this sounds real bad, let me know, please and thank you. Now, where am I going to start this here? I did a story. Oh, before I even start, I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas or Happy Pagan Holiday or whatever it is that you do. Went to my sister's and then out to mother's sister's and had a nice meal. And they're pretty quiet. Yeah. Anyways, we're just going to run through a couple. Oh, by the way, George Michael is dead. And I don't get that because if I put in a local news... I was looking at some news last night, and I put in my local news, which is rural Ontario. And the first story that comes up is George Michael's dead. Well, I don't know what the hell that has to do with rural Ontario. But everywhere I looked, George Michael dead. Now, when Maurice Strong died, there was barely a peep out of the media. You know, the influence this guy had and all the ugly, nasty things he was doing his entire life. None of that seemed to hit the media. All of these people that, like Rockefellers, I didn't see a big statement from them. I didn't see a statement from Gorbachev. I didn't, who's partners in all this nonsense with Strong. It's like nobody ever heard of Maurice Strong, all these people that hung out with him, moving their global agenda based on the falsity of environmental problems and climate change and whatnot. But George Michael died, and it's on every freaking newspaper. Doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. Why is that? Simple. George Michael's gay. And that's why George Michael was splattered all over, everywhere. He was such a nice guy. I never met the man. But the media says he's such a nice guy, and so on and so forth. Even though that he got busted for lewdness whatnot. He's plastered all over the place like the poster boy, that we should have empathy for George, mainly, I think, because he was gay. And then I see today, last night, I saw some news that Carrie Fisher had had a heart attack or something on a plane, and last night she was doing fine. And then we were working today, and I went for lunch, and when I got picked up again, my brother-in-law tells me that Carrie Fisher had also died. That would be Princess Leia from the first Star Wars. Now, so we have a lot of this stuff. This is in the Cowichan News, for crying out loud. This is Cowichan Valley Citizen, which is on Vancouver Island, a small little area, small little newspaper, and we have all these important stories. Now, here's a story here. BC Hydro downgrades smart meter savings. Well, of course, because it was all a fraud. It's always been a fraud, and it's still a fraud, and these people need to be held accountable. Problem is, those that take the oath to the Queen are not accountable. They're not liable. You and I, on the other hand, who are subjects, are the responsible, liable parties. Anyways, it says here real quick, the cost of power trending lower, but project still pays for itself and eliminates most electricity theft from marijuana grow ops. I have no idea what that's got to do with smart meters, but that's your story. And there was a story in here, really, that I was looking for. I had it up. Oh, here it is. Now, we had a story on here, on this particular paper that somebody has sent me, about a guy who has some sheep or something, and they're going to charge him big time for his well water. And that seems to have a few people upset. Now, there's all kinds of research, me including, saying that, we knew this was coming a long, long time ago, that your well, you think it's your well. I mean, it makes sense it's your well. You paid to have the well dug or drilled, so one would assume that you paid for it, it must be yours, but then the well isn't on your land, is it? It's not on, you don't own the well because you don't own the ground the well's sitting on. You have a property, and the property is owned by the Crown, which is a corporation, and that's why you pay taxes on it, because it ain't yours, and you spend money in improvements and putting your well in and that, but the water belongs to the Crown, or they think it does, they claim it does, well, they don't have a rightful claim to it. We've just got suckered into this situation, and so the Cowichan farmer is angry that he must pay for his well water under new provincial regulations. Well, you may have paid for the well, but it ain't on your so-called land. You've bought a piece of property, which legally is a abstract concept, something made up in the mind. It ain't real. So you don't own the land that you drilled the well on. And you most definitely don't own the water. So I don't know what you're angry about. You should be angry not that you must pay for his well water under new provincial regulations, he should be angry that he fell for the deception, the fraud, that he actually owns anything, that the so-called government even recognizes him, because they don't. They only recognize what they created. God created man. The legal system created humans and persons and peoples and so on and so forth. And they only deal in a fictional world, things made up in the mind, nothing real. It's time we wise up to that. And the longer it takes us to wise up to it, the more people who are, or the more men and women are going to be harmed. Now, the other story that came out of Cowichan here, and we did a little story on this, a few days back, or before Christmas. And here, the story we had there last time about tiny homes was about a Native woman who was a co-founder of Idle No More, which comes straight out of the United Nations. So they want to take old pallets and build tiny homes for the Native people. Wasn't that kind, coming from another Native woman who wants to house her people in tiny homes made out of used pallets? That's brilliant. Not. It just proves that this lady is a player. So here out of Cowichan Valley on Vancouver Island, which is a small place, the Cowichan Housing Association Affordable Housing Director, Joy Emmanuel, is making the case for tiny homes and saying that building code changes are needed because it's very difficult to get a building permit to build a house out of used pallets. Now, I've built many, many homes, and I would not have been able to get a permit for a tiny home because I said I want to build some tiny homes, and they said, how big? And I said, between 200 and 400 square feet, and they would say that's not a home. They would say that that's not applicable for anyone to live in. It's a freaking garden shed. No, you can't live in that. But not anymore, not since all of our so-called elected officials have crawled up the ass of the United Nations. So Joy Emmanuel wants to see more tiny homes, size between 200 and 400 square feet, and price less than $80,000 in the Cowichan Valley. Speaking to Council North Cowichan on December 21st, Manuel, the affordable housing coordinator with the Cowichan Housing Association, said that with standard houses increasingly priced out of the market for many, it's time to look for new alternatives. Well, the whole thing about being priced out of the market has to do with the same group of people that came up with the tiny homes, and that's the United Nations, which is the IMF, the World Bank, and all the rest of these clowns, who, every municipality has put a development border zone around the town, so you can't build outside these zones, which obviously has a purpose of driving the price of lots up. If you can't go build where you want and you're contained in a small area, well, obviously, there's going to be less ground to build on. And therefore, that drives the price of land right through the freaking ceiling. And that's the problem. And they created it. And now they have a solution for it. And that is to put people in little homes between 200 and 400 square feet. Now, it's really retarded because the room I'm sitting in here at home, which has my desk and a couple couches and a printer and a small wall unit, and that's about it. That room that I'm in is 255 or 60 square feet, and my kitchen rolls out at the same. So, my kitchen and the room I'm in here, because I don't have the living room finished yet, because the living room is 15 by 30 with a loft not finished yet, but in the meantime, this room that we're in now was going to be my wife's art room. And so they want to actually build something less than the size of this room, which would house somehow your kitchen, bathroom, living room, bedroom, and maybe a guest room. If it's not a very big guest, you wouldn't be able to have big guests, little guests, little people. Is absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Now, it's been a while. It's probably 25 years or so, but big deal. We put a 1,400 square foot house on a lot for a lady. And the total cost of that 1,400 square foot house was $110,000. And now you're telling me that you want to build 200 to 400 square foot houses priced less than $80,000. And this is supposed to be some good news for somebody? This is bloody retarded. In our town here, we bought a bunch of lots back in the late 80s, call it 1990. And they were huge lots in town. And we picked them up, I think, for $36,000 a piece. In this town now, because of development zone, the smallest postage stamp lot in this town is going for well over $100,000. Now, why are these lots so expensive? Well, because you can't build outside the line. They put a fence around each town. In other words, it's like you are on a reserve. And that's exactly what they're doing. We are being genocided just the very same way they genocided the native people. They took away their lands. They stole their children. They filled their children's heads full of bullshit, just like you're doing with your children. And they put you on a reserve. If you can't build where you wish to build, then you're on a reserve. And that's exactly why the price of this stuff's gone up so much. Anyways, go on with this story a little. She said that many demographic groups, including singles and seniors, find it difficult to afford rent in the region, with many shelling out more than 30% of their incomes and allowing tiny homes would be cheaper means for them to attain a form of home ownership. It's not a home. I mean, you got to be mentally retarded. They talk about mental health care all the time in this country, which, again, is part of the UN agenda. But obviously, this Emmanuel woman is mentally cooked. To say to attain a form of home ownership, a 200 square foot shed is not a home. A 400 square foot shed is not a home. Period. No way, no chance, not possible. Manu also said she has rented for more than 40 years and figures she has paid out approximately $280,000 to pay other people's mortgages in that time, money she could have used to pay her own mortgage. Well, fine. Why didn't you go get a mortgage? Why didn't you go get a mortgage? As well, she said, tiny homes consume less in materials. Well, obviously. Obviously. A garden shed consumes less material than a house. Absolutely. Doesn't take a brain to figure that one out, but then Miss Manuel is mentally retarded. And I'm not supposed to use the word retarded. I'll just say mentally cooked. It say it uses consumes less in materials, energy, and water during a time of increasing conservation. So, we all need to get into tiny homes. Bud Emanuel said the building of tiny homes is constricted by the demands of construction standards and the provincial building code. She said there is a growing sentiment in the community that people should work towards taking back their rights to build their own homes that suit their budgets and their needs. Many of the building regulations in place are excessive and are most are more than are needed, Emmanuel said. We need to explore ways that people can live in their own homes in a happy, healthy, and, well, of course, sustainable way. But I understand that these issues cover many jurisdictions. Emmanuel suggested to council the members could discuss the issue at the next meeting of the Union of BC Municipalities in 2017 and lobby for changes to the building code that will allow for, well, tiny homes. Scott Mack, North Cowichan's Director of Development Services, said the municipality is responsible for zoning and there's nothing to prevent the construction of tiny homes in the area that from that perspective. But he said the issue becomes more complicated when it comes to servicing the homes because concerns around potable water and sewage distribution involve the province. These issues are not entirely within our jurisdiction, Max said. The province is looking at compostable toilets and other issues related to tiny homes, but regulations don't exist at this stage. Councillor Kate Marsh said she's excited about the possibilities for tiny homes. Kate Marsh is getting wet thinking about tiny homes. She's that freaking excited. The housing market has pushed a lot of people out of the market, she said. I don't know where we can go from here, but I'm hoping North Cowichan can be a leader in having homes that people feel good about. It feels like an idea whose time has come. In other words, they are bankrupting the entire nation, so the nation can't afford a home. No one in the nation can afford a home, and all of a sudden, with the help of the local councils and, of course, the UN Global to Local agenda, all of a sudden, these wonderful do-gooders, these councillors, these idiots from hell that should be hung from the trees in the bush to warn others not to ever try to pull a stunt like this on the men and women of this nation, just as a warning, I'm saying. All of a sudden, tiny homes are the answer. Second biggest landmass country on the planet, with less population than the state of California, with more natural resources per capita than anywhere on the planet, and the answer to solve our problems is, of course, 200 square foot tiny homes. I think it's about time that we built a big home that is rubberized to gather up all of our councillors, all the CAOs, all the provincial, all the federal government people, and house them there where they can bounce off the walls merrily, coming up with their lunacy ideas, but contain them in a way that they can't harm anyone is what we need to do. These people are completely and totally out of their minds. They're idiots. I mean, there's nobody even home in these heads. And yet these are the people that sit at your council tables. That's why I keep telling people you want some real change, that get up off your ass and run for your local council. Because if you don't run for your local council, these idiots are going to keep pushing these agendas down your throat. So if we don't stop it, it's our fault. And if we don't run in our local elections, then it's our fault. We got nobody to blame to but ourselves until we all live in tiny homes. Little houses. Little tiny houses. Mr. Chris.
Mr. Ron.
No, this ain't Ron.
Is there feedback?
You got none of that.
I think I've explained in another show that I got an offer to build tiny homes.
Yes, you did.
Yep. And I think I've also said to you, there was a guy that he raised $150,000 to build tiny homes in Los Angeles. And, but he considered it temporary housing until he could get on their feet and then he would remove them. And there's been some flack from the county in Los Angeles.
But
that wants to take them away because they don't want homeless people on the streets one way or the other. So there is a good and a bad to it. Like, what you're saying is absolutely 100% correct. But unfortunately, in this great land of ours and in the United States, we seem to have a lot of homeless people.
Well, that's unfair. Because
so, you know, to build them, I'm thinking, for that purpose is a good thing.
Well, if people...
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Then they don't need tiny homes. So if they let people build outside these zones they put in, then obviously the price of land is going to be lower. And if they didn't throw these people out of the houses, if they didn't move all their jobs to the Far East, then guess what? We wouldn't have a need for tiny homes. And this is the whole point. The point is they manufacture this stuff and put people in such pathetic positions, and then they bring forward their solutions, but they cause the problem. So if the homeless people should be living in the counselors' homes, and the counselors should be living in the tiny homes, is basically where I'm trying to go with this. These are the people that caused the problems. These are the people that ended up these good men and women who lost their jobs or couldn't afford medical expenses and ended up on the street. And now they're offering them tiny homes, or young people tiny homes, because we have to, of course, save the planet. My attitude is we should take each counselor from each community and stuff their fat asses into a 200-square-foot tiny home with a composting toilet and tell them to enjoy their lives because we're moving into their houses. Now, they probably won't like that because there isn't a counselor out there that would live in a 200-square-foot house, but then they bring this as a solution to save the planet. Yada, yada, yada. These people need to be hung from trees just to discourage other people from doing the bidding of the UN and the corporate globalist agendas.
Well, you know, Ron, I'm getting a lot of responses of people that are... that I'm trying to explain to them what high treason means. And we have it in our own, in our land in Canada with our provincial government in Ontario and our federal government through, I call them twinkle toes. What do you call them?
Well, they're prime minister, Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell. You call them Tinkerbell. I call them twinkle toes. Same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
But people are starting to catch on to what I'm saying. High treason means that they have to be hung.
Well, they deserve to be hung.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they said,
but this is not becoming a joke anymore. This is for real. They are right in your face telling you that they are going to harm you to the point where you can't survive anymore. And people are starting to wake up to it, Ron. And I don't want violence, but high treason is high treason. So,
you know, it all depends on how you look at it. You know, high treason, they don't recognize us. So they're not really in a position of high treason against you and me because we're real. They are playing this out against our paper persons because they don't recognize us. So, you know, just the fact that they're in the legal system, I think, or have entrapped us in the legal system, is high treason against men and women. And yes, they ought to all be hung. And Shakespeare was absolutely correct when he said first kill all lawyers, because the lawyers are the ones that kicked up and run the legal system, which is a complete and total fraud used to gain advantage, deceive, and harm people, which is exactly what they're doing. I mean, I feel so bad for all those families that sent their young sons and daughters off to these wars, manufactured war, bills based on 100% lies, and to benefit themselves, and the people sacrificed their sons and daughters And those sacrifices that were made in these so-called wars for freedom were wars to entrap us, and that's what they've done. So, you know, it's really it really is disgusting what's going on and what has gone on, and where they're trying to take us to now. In the old days, they used to hang people, and as a warning.
Well, that's it. Smarten up, or you lose.
That's right. If you want to act like this, you're going to look like that. Simple as that. If you're going to harm our people, guess where you're going to end up at? Right there. And I'm not into violence, and I really don't want to hang anybody. I wouldn't mind getting in the ring with Tinkerbell, but you know, this has to stop. It has got to stop, and we got to hold their feet to the fire, and we're not doing it. We're not holding their feet to the fire. They're just going about their business, and they're harming everybody. I mean, how can you have a counselor so excited about just so excited about tiny homes? This is so exciting. Lock this one up. Because if you're excited about putting somebody in a 200 square foot house, then you're gone in the mind. You don't have the capacity to think straight. So get off council. You should be able to drag them out kicking and screaming, take them out tar and feather, and put a sucker in the mouth or a soother, and put them in a playpen somewhere where they don't hurt nobody. These people are not real. I mean, they're not. They have no capacity to think. It's pitiful. You sent me a thing about the prison, the women's prison in Kingston. I didn't get a chance to read that. What was that about?
Oh, it's just they closed it up about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Now all the really sick, evil women in Canada used to be sent to our prison for women here in Kingston.
Now they're sent to Parliament.
To psych wards. Well, no, we don't even have psych wards anymore because they closed them up too.
Those really
sent them somewhere.
Psychotic women. We have one run in the province of Ontario. We got one run in the province of Alberta. We got one run in the province of BC. The Lieutenant Governor, who came from UNEP, which was bred by Maurice Strong, is sitting as queen in Ontario. They need to open that prison again because we got some very evil women that need to be locked up.
But it all starts from Kingston. See, we're the center of the universe.
Well, yeah, but Tim has the oldest water.
Oh yeah, 2 billion year old water. I want to get some of that, and I want to sell it on eBay.
Yeah. I mean, that's good water.
Yeah, that'd be the best.
Well, yeah.
To sit in a while.
I mean, we got everything here. We're a
you
leader.
Got it. No. We got the tragically hip.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, okay, that's all you need to know.
Well, you got Dan Aykroyd.
We got him too.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. So we're the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. And you got lots
and,
of money.
We got prisons that are closing. We just lost our Kingston Penitentiary, which was actually, well, the first penitentiary in Canada, I believe. And now we lost the women's prison, which is right across the street from it. So now we just get, well, criminals run amok.
Yeah, that's good, because that's what we need. We need more criminals.
And they're all living in tiny houses as of next year, because I'm building them. That was just a goofy statement.
I'm going to build them, but... I was looking at because I don't like anybody's parents ending up in an old age home. I don't, that whole idea just makes me sick to my stomach.
So well, they're nasty here. They're nasty here for that too, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
No, really nasty. Like,
well, that's the killing fields, man.
The last thing the last thing you want to do is put your parents in an old folks home.
That's
in
just
material.
Yeah, you might as well just take them up back and shoot them and be done with it. But
yeah, well, that's the plan.
No, I looked at putting in houses, but they were going to be like 700 square feet for your parents or whatever. You do the same thing we did with that. But the factory houses that we used to sell, like not trailers, but real houses. And you just crane them up over the house and put them in the backyard. And then your fam can stay together. But now they're down to these tiny homes. I mean, can you just picture yourself living in 200 square feet?
Well, they make it look pretty on the YouTube.
But the thing is, they're coming forward with this big mental health thing. Eh? Everybody's got a mental problem, apparently, except for the counselors.
Oh, you need a tip for that.
Well, no, but the idea is they keep stressing the people out. And then, so then they put them, how long are you going to be able to live in a 200 square foot house without having a major mental problem? Like, I understand that some of them, they put mirrors on the one wall so it looks bigger. Well, it's still
a big mirror.
It's still 200 square feet. Like, I look at this thing here, this room I'm in.
Is it?
Look at this room I'm in.
And then if you have a basement, you don't count the basement. So you could dig yourself a basement and you get another 200 square feet. And now you're up to 400 square feet. And then you get a really high vaulted ceiling. And you might be at 550.
No, you still got 200. You put a stairwell down into 200 square foot in the basement. You only got 200 square feet in the basement, not by a long shot.
Oh yeah, I'd dig it out. I'll just keep digging.
Well, you just keep digging.
Yeah. So about 6 feet. No, I better go 8. 6 feet sounds kind of scary.
In my head. No. I mean, I look at this room that we're sitting in, me and my wife and one cat. And it's 255 or 260 square feet. And I'm just looking at it. How the hell would you live in this thing? It's one room. And I'm supposed to have a kitchen and a bathroom and a living room and a bedroom in here somehow. It ain't possible. And they said, well, of course it's possible. Use a composting toilet. Well, that's always nice in 200 square feet. I guess, what do you do? You have I don't know what you do. You got one wall. You'd have a very small kitchen, put 8 feet of cupboard in there. And, okay, so that's the kitchen. And I guess the bathroom would be very tiny. It's not possible. Well, anything's possible.
No, it's like folding clothes. You just got to be able to fold things up when you're not using them. That's what I've been told.
Well, then you just...
I don't know how you do that with the dishes, though. Got to be careful. Plastic dishes. Then that way they won't break when you fold them up.
I guess plastic dishes would work.
Dishes. And then your bed, well, that folds up into the, one wall. And it provides insulation during the day when it's really cold. I don't know. I'm just trying to...
Absolutely.
I'm trying to promote the selling of small homes here.
Yeah, but if somebody came up to me and said, could you build me a house? Yeah, okay. I'll build you a house. Yeah, you got any plans or anything for the said house? Yeah, they're right here. Well, where's the rest of it? No, that's it. This is your house. Yeah. 200 square foot house. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I think you need to go see someone. You're not well. Well, no, I want this. Well, let me see. A lot in town is 100,000 plus. And on this 100,000 plus piece of ground, you want to put a 200 square foot house. Now, see, here's the next thing they're going to do, and you know it's coming because they got the containment border or development zone around the towns. So there's no, you can't make extra ground inside of there. That, all the ground that's inside of that containment zone is there, and there ain't no more. So now where your lot had to be X size, because you have to have so much frontage and all this kind of stuff, now, because we're going to go to tiny homes, you're going to take a $100,000 lot, and now you're going to sell, I don't know, split the lot into 10, and if you're the guy that owns the lot, you're going to get it split into 10 or whatever and put 10 200 square foot homes on it, and you're going to charge them instead of 100 plus for the lot, you can charge them $25,000 per lot, and that's a lot better than $100,000 for a lot. But the guy split it into 10 pieces, so now he's getting $250,000 off the same piece of property that he was looking for $100,000 off of. But hey, we helped the community because now we house 10 people in the space it used to take to house one house. Isn't that freaking sustainable? No, it's not sustainable. Okay, it is criminal is what it is. And this
well, that's exactly what I was saying, though. It's the guy. I'll go back to the guy in Los Angeles. Like he said, what he was doing, it was called temporary housing. It was better than a tent. This it wasn't meant to be long term. What you're talking about is where they're going.
Yeah,
you're talking about making this long term. Everybody should have a tiny home or live in Toronto or Vancouver.
Yeah, every one of these tiny home communities will have a community center for the community-minded, and then you'll go and live in your closet, and they'll have a nice little sidewalk connecting your place to the community center, and this is it's ludicrous, absolutely friggin' ludicrous, on this idea of sustainability. How the hell can people be so stupid? You know, they don't ask the question. They never ask the questions that need to be asked. They never say, why does a lot cost this freaking much money? We have less people living here than the whole state of California. And you can drop California into any province and it disappears. I don't know how many times California would fit in Ontario, quite a damn few. So we're not sure. We don't have a shortage of trees. We don't have a shortage of ore. We can make our steel. We can make our concrete. We can mill our trees. We have absolutely no shortage of land. So why are we allowing ourselves to be contained in these containment development zones, which are nothing more than reserves? Why are we allowing that? That's the question. I mean, even if you could live happily ever after in a 200 square foot house, why are we living in 200 square foot houses? The whole country's vacant. So, you know, I don't think people ask the right questions ever. They get caught up. This is an example. We're working on the store today. And the guy pulls in, he's there most days, nice guy. He pulled in, and I don't even know how this got going. I went out for a break for a smoke. And that's why you should smoke, people, because you can have conversations with people when you're outside having a smoke, you see. So anyways, this guy pulls up, and we get talking. And he really hates Trump for some reason. And I go, you really hate Trump? Oh, yeah. Why is that? Well, because of what he wants to do. Well, what's that? Well, it's all over the papers and everything. Okay. So you hate Trump. Oh, yeah. Have you ever met Trump? No. Well, then how the hell can you hate someone you never met? I never thought about it that way. Well, think about it that way. You're allowing someone to construct your opinion for you. And that's exactly what the councils do and the media does with windmills, solar panels, sustainable building, tiny houses, conservation of water, smart meters, everything else. They create your opinion for you. And the people that have the opinion created for them never ask a question. Then they just don't ask any questions, because if they ask questions, they'll be looking for answers. Oh, they're going to do, houses are really expensive, so they're going to give us tiny houses now. Oil's dirty, coal's dirty, so we're going to use green energy. You know, it's clean and it's green and it's free. No, it's none of those things, but so you don't know what you're even talking about. But you've had this opinion formed for you and stuck in your brain, and you people chatter about it as if you have some kind of an idea what you're even talking about. So no, it's we got to stop this shit. Really need to stop it.
Well, you know, you got members of the Liberal Party that are profiting from this new wind energy, eh?
Yeah.
You knew that, right?
What's that? Say that again.
I said you got members of the Liberal Party that are profiting from the Ontario's wind energy.
Yeah, you have conservatives, you have NDPs, and
no,
you have
groups. No. You go back. No. Go back to 2004. You got like Mike Crawley, right? He was then the president for the Ontario Liberals. Hmm. He was awarded a wind power contract that guarantees his company a 60, like the numbers, eh? Like duck me 666 times.
Yeah.
$66,000 a day for a total of about $500 million, right?
Yeah.
But then, since then, Crawley has been awarded additional wind project contracts. And I have actually a link to that. That just blows my mind. As we got wind telling us to enjoy our new tax that's coming in as of January 1st. To do with global warming or climate change or whatever the fuck it is, carbon tax, call it what you will. Yeah. So these guys, you know, they're setting themselves up to make billions, and nobody's asking questions. Nobody.
It's exactly what happened in Russia when the Iron Curtain came down. I mean, all you got to do is go and take a quick study of Russia. What's going on here is exactly what went on in Russia. And, I'll get a kick out of this nonsense. Russia against America again, right? They're all players. They're all working together. And we're all going to get kicked in the teeth. And I don't know why we want to get kicked in the teeth. The world will burn itself sooner or later. I don't think so. Global spontaneous combustion. I don't think so. Not going to happen. The planet has been here forever, whatever ever is. And all the nuclear bombs and all the atomic bombs that have been dropped on this planet, and the planet's still here. People get this funny idea that the planet is tiny. It's a tiny home on a tiny planet. The planet is not tiny. It is not overpopulated. It is not overmined, and so on and so forth. Okay, this is the stuff they put in your head. What we need to do, see what happened, they really screwed this up, is that we allowed these people to take us over, to take over the nations and the countries. The African people are running around with Nikes on that on them. Why is that? right? Okay, we destroyed their societies and said, they need to be like us. They're in the Dark Ages. Well, it's not our business to drag anybody anywhere or make anybody be something they're not. Yet this is what we've done. If you just leave people to hell alone in their own nations, we wouldn't have wars. We wouldn't have the problems that are created. And all of these problems are created in order to move their agenda forward. And we need to give these people a kick in the teeth. How can a woman who's a counselor in Cowichan Valley, Vancouver Island, be that excited about 200 square foot houses? The only way she'd be that excited is if she's a player for the agenda that's designed to destroy your lives. And people like that need to be dealt with. You know, it's no different than somebody coming up on the street corner, putting a gun in your back and say, give me your wallet. You're being robbed not only of your labor, you're being robbed of your future. Your children don't have a future because they already robbed you. There's nothing left to rob from the kid except the kid. What kids they're going to allow to live are going to be slaves for the and live in little tiny houses and work as for free basically once guaranteed income gets kicked up. Then the corporations obviously don't have to pay as much because the rest of yous are all investing in the guaranteed income, which people don't have to work. But if they do have to work, the corporations won't have to pay them as much because, well, they already have a guaranteed income. This has to stop. It's insanity. So anyways, Chris, you gave me some good news. Michael Walsh is up for the show this coming Sunday. Am I correct?
Well, we were talking Saturday night because you got two radio stations you're on, but that's 3 o'clock his time, so that's a little late for him. So if you can set this up for Sunday, you'll have a really good show on Sunday.
Sunday it is for next Sunday because the guy's in England, the guy in Ireland, it would be like midnight.
Well, Mike's in Spain, eh?
Morning there, so that's no good. So we're going to do it Sunday. I have to get a hold of the guy from Ireland. I talked to him for a good while, and these guys are doing some phenomenal work in Ireland. And I do want to talk to him about direct democracy in Ireland, if he's heard about that, because that's a total and complete scam. They're pushing that here in Canada, in the United States, straight out of the UN again. And then the gentleman from England. So if we get somebody from England and Ireland, and Michael's in, Mike Walsh is in Spain, I believe, right? Yeah. If we could get, and Michael's originally from England, I believe. He's a pretty prolific writer. So, and he's in his 70s now, I believe. So he's been paying attention to this for many, many decades. He knows what he's talking about. So it would be very
the leader if we get the Freedom Party in the 60s.
yeah, exactly. So, well, I mean, Michael's even older than me, for crying out loud, and that's weird.
Jesus, he's got to be 280 then.
I know, eh? That's brutal. So, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do here tonight. I have an old friend of mine who just died.
You got friends?
Well, no, they all died.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I don't mean to be rude. I did not know that.
No, Jimmy was, he ran a magazine here. And he's actually a dual citizen. He's from America originally. I met him when I was renovating his house, actually, and then I did a bit of work for him on his magazine. And, you know, I haven't seen him for quite a while, but apparently he has just passed away. And so I think his visitation is tonight. I really don't want to go to the funeral tomorrow, so I'm still in my work clothes because I just got home. I have to do the show, and I think the visitation's over at 9. This over at 8, and the man took away my driver's license, so I have to figure out how to get to the funeral home between the time the show this the show ends at 9 o'clock. Say goodbye to him. He's one of those guys, there's very few characters left. Most people look downtrodden, dull-eyed, uninterested in anything, and they are uninteresting. And Jimmy was one of those guys who was in class as a character, and we have way too few characters so hopefully we'll grow some new characters and get some young guys with some spunk, and we can push these guys back where they belong, up Satan's ass, where I'm sure they popped out of.
Well, that's the plan.
Well, there's no other explanation for these leaders, these so-called leaders. I gotta really piss off the. I want to really piss off the Israel people. So I'm going to put a UN flag, and then I'm going to put Satan in the middle and an Israeli flag, and I'm going to join them all together there, right? Just call it the Satanic Brotherhood. Put that up and see how many people I can piss off. It's because I can, right? And it's the whole point of it is not really to piss people off, it's just to get people to think. Don't seem to have the capacity to do that any longer.
There is a lot. I read an article today, and I
Did I just lose you? Skype? You still there, Chris? I have no idea what's going on here. Anyways, seems like I lost Chris, or we lost the whole thing. I don't know. Anyways, we're back Thursday night. See what we talk about Thursday night. If you guys got anything you want to talk about, call in. That's always fun. And yeah, I'm looking forward to Sunday. If we can get Mike Walsh and the gentleman from Ireland and the gentleman from England on. And they're doing some really, really good work over there. And hopefully they can encourage us to do the same thing over here. So, that's what we hope for on Sunday anyways. I think we can pull it off and have some fun. I should be hearing, kids are tough. Yeah, kids are tough. They definitely are tough. We just have to. What's that old song? Teach your children well. Don't give your children to the state to fill their heads full of all kinds of nonsense. And if you are sending them to public school, you better be able to have the capacity to sit your kid down, find out what they're being taught, and to explain to the kids what is real and what is not real, and that they need to challenge the teachers. This idea of, oh, don't speak up in class, you'll disrupt the class and stuff, that whole attitude has to change, has to stop. It's time to hold everybody's feet to the fire, and that's what we're going to do. And I think we're out of here pretty quick, hopefully. But anyways, I hope everybody had a great holiday. You just continue to have a great holiday. I didn't get much of a holiday.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they more. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape.